December 22nd, 2021. I have the biggest smile on my face because this year is coming to an end. Welcome to another episode of Coffee with Source. I'm your host, Emmanuelle Chassé, and I'm so grateful for all of the listeners and everyone who's reached out to be a guest. And my heart is so full of gratitude. This episode is, oh my God, so interesting to me and so important to my heart because I like to think that I have the soul of an entrepreneur, that entrepreneurial spirit, as people say. And I had some amazing role models when I was little that for sure contributed to this love and passion for wanting to be able to help others on a grand scale, as I witnessed firsthand my role models. That's Jack in the background. I'm so sorry for his little doggy collar, but my uncle Gildo and my aunt Stella, they were fantastic role models, and they were legit a power couple, but they were definitely heart-centered entrepreneurs. My aunt spent so much time working one-on-one with women and helping them to believe in themselves, find their worth, boost their self-confidence. And I just saw how invested they were in their employees, in their staff, and the mission that they were on to really help women change their lives and help women create financial freedom. So that was definitely, you know, one of my most memorable examples of role models. And of course, you know, entrepreneurship is everywhere in my family, that's for sure. All of my uncles and my father, they all worked for themselves. And so I'm very passionate about it and always knew that that's something that I would be. I would be an entrepreneur, first of all, because as sweet and kind and generous as I feel that I am, I have my ideas about certain things and I am, you know, working through that and healing through that. But I definitely like my vision to be executed in a certain way. And I think it's important to give ourselves a little bit of grace as entrepreneurs. And I don't say that in a way that I'm a control freak, but when it is your vision, your baby, you know, where you have an idea on how things can work or be improved, it's difficult to be in a situation in which your ideas are constricted. Anyways, that's not what this is about. What it's about is the challenge that I faced for so long. And especially if I go all the way back to 2009 when I, you know, started making baked goods from home. And that's a story for a whole other episode, but that's how it started. And it was just for shits and giggles. And, you know, I was really passionate about it, but with the amount of baking that I was doing, the product was getting better and my decorating skills were getting better. And I was bringing treats to school for the boys, you know, every day, and the teachers were noticing, and so were the other parents. And very quickly, people started asking me if they could buy my cupcakes or my brownies for their event. And I can't express in words the excitement. And this is the catch 22, right? Because the excitement of being like, oh my God, they see something in me. My product is that good. They want it. I must be doing something right. And then the sheer panic of being like, what the fuck do I charge? I can't charge this person. I have to see them every day. They're going to give me money for something. Then I'm going to feel like I owe them something. This is a hot mess. And absolutely not. And I remember just saying like, oh, you know, I'm not really selling anything, because I didn't want to deal with the discomfort of that. But also part of the episode today is to talk about structure. And so that goes twofold in with, you know, my discomfort of charging money, which I eventually did because, you know, people wanted to pay me money, and it was for something that I was already doing. So it just seemed illogical. But my partner at the time said it in a really great way. He was like, hey, if you make this person, you know, a couple dozen cupcakes for their party and you charge them, you know, just $1 a cupcake, it's $25, but that's going to pay for your flour and your sugar and your eggs for the treat that you're making for this week, or whatever it was. And that made me comfortable with that. But as I did, you know, charge ridiculous amounts of money when I was starting off and felt so uncomfortable accepting the money, I knew that my passion was growing. I knew that I was on to something, and I was getting a lot of support from my partner at the time, which was amazing. And it made me really curious about it. But as I started, you know, baking more and more orders, I never created a structure. I never put any processes in place because I was just like, I'm making cupcakes, like I'm making birthday cakes, like, you know, whatever. I'll send them an email, tell them how much they owe me. They'll give me cash at the door, or, you know, they'll write me a check. We were still doing that back in the day. And so as the business grew, I'd created a bunch of bad habits and there was no structure to the business. And fast forward in 2014, when we decided to open our first brick and mortar bakery, well, that was to our detriment because there was no structure. I was the fly by the seat of my pants kind of girl, kind of like, I'll make it. The customers will come. They'll buy things. The money will come in. And having no proper structure, you know, led me down a road of so much chaos and uncertainty and paranoia and panic, which could have been avoided. And so I think it's really interesting to chat with Tammy, and her experience is just phenomenal. But her passion for small business owners and heart-centered entrepreneurs, and what we mean by heart-centered entrepreneurs doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, a hypnotherapist like I am, or a mindset coach, or, you know, a holistic wellness person, or a yoga teacher. Heart-centered entrepreneurship means that in some way you're contributing to the betterment of our society and humanity. And that can be with your product and service. You know, it could be you're selling hand-painted ceramic mugs that have cute sayings, like you're helping uplift the vibrations and the consciousness of humanity. So whatever it is that your product or service is, listen to Tammy. Her wisdom shines through, and she really is a kick some ass entrepreneur. And so I hope you enjoy this episode, and thanks for being here. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Coffee with Source. I am so excited today. My special guest is Tammy Johnson. And in her own words, she is the gonna hold your hand and kick your ass business coach, which I absolutely love. Welcome to Coffee with Source, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
You and I had a brief conversation. I like to meet with every guest and feel the vibes and the energy. And after our conversation, I was like, oh, there's so many things that I didn't know. And you brought so many emotions to the surface as, you know, as I am an entrepreneur and always have had that entrepreneurial spirit. But can you share with our listeners what it is that you do and a little bit about the journey as to how you got there?
Well, I work with solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners as early in their journey as possible, preferably idea stage up to 2 years in business, because that's where I can have the biggest impact. I work to teach them the basic foundational skills that they need to first survive and then thrive, because small business is what's changing the world. It is our only hope for the future. Small business is what's looking after our customers. It's what's looking after our families. It's what's looking after our communities. It's not the big companies that you're hearing about that, oh, well, they just did a 900 person layoff over Zoom last week or any of that stuff. Those are the ones that get all the media attention, but where all the growth and the work and the heart, it's all in the small business. Unfortunately, very few small businesses survive past the 2 year mark. And it's not because they don't have a great product or service. It's not because the entrepreneur wasn't busting their butt. It was plain and simple because they did not have the foundational skills that they needed to build a business around their products or services. And that's what drives me. It breaks my heart to see people that have put their life and their life savings and everything into their dream to watch it crash and burn unnecessarily.
I love that. For those who are listening who might not understand what you mean by small businesses are the future and the heartbeat of the world, what does that mean?
78% of all jobs are small businesses. And when I say small businesses, it's solopreneurs up to 10 employees. Wow. It's not the Microsofts. It's not the Amazons. Those actually make up a small percentage. More and more people, and especially all the new jobs, are coming from small organizations setting out to provide products and services. Pretty much all you ever hear about when you're listening to the news or watching anything when it comes to the big companies is their jerk billionaire owners going off into space or laying off people.
Yeah.
Or making them stay in a tornado so that they're dead.
Yeah, no, it's insane. 78%. That's a staggering statistic. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out it was that high too, but that's where all the growth is. It's the small people. It's the people that are going, you know what? I'm not going back to that horrible job. I'm going, you know what? I'll freelance. I will set up my own business because at least for the stress and the grief I'm going through, at least I'm the boss and I'm not taking garbage from people who treat me like garbage.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, it's been circulating around for the last 6 months that there's the, you know, the great resignation is happening. What is that? What do you hear when you hear that? What does that mean?
There's a lot of people going, I'm not going to be putting my life and my family on the line anymore. Like I've been watching all the stuff about the tornadoes going through the States last week. And there's people that were going, yes, there's the tornado warnings and all of this stuff. And the sirens are going off. But if you leave, you get fired.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. It's so inhumane.
And people, the minimum wage, like in Canada, we're doing an awful lot better. But down in the States, like you have to have five jobs just to be able to make rent. That's what's the point?
Yeah.
And people are going, why in the world should I do that? Like it's... We all need these people. They're not less than. They're providing a service. They're working hard. They're taking a lot of guff, not just from their employers, but unfortunately, a lot of customers treat them like garbage too, which I do not understand in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, in any industry at all.
In any industry.
Yeah.
It's basically indentured servitude. It's modern day slavery. And people are going, I'm not bothering. If I'm going to be broke and have no hope for the future, I'm not busting my butt to do it.
Well, that's the thing. And I, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for years and I've, you know, had employees. And for me, it was such a different approach. I was so aware that without them, the business wouldn't be successful because I couldn't be in 100 different places at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always, you know, really ingrained within me that the way I treat my employees in is the way that they reflect who I am, my brand and my business back to the customer.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't you want to treat them in a respectful, kind, loving way?
Yeah. I
mean, they will make or break you.
And even just going back to the golden rule that we were all supposedly taught all throughout going on through school, treat others the way you'd want to be treated. And they, nobody would want to be treated the way they, a lot of these people are treating their employees or the people that are serving them. It's like just common decency and courtesy. Like what happened to it? And this is not against everybody. I've seen so many people do wonderful things and have great relationship with their employees. I've had lots of those over the years and yeah. People that are appreciating and treating servers and service people properly, but there's so many, it seems, that are just going off the freaking deep end.
Yeah, it's true. What is your experience, you know, for the listeners who are saying, wow, she really fucking sounds like she knows what she's talking about. You didn't just wake up one morning and decided that you were going to be, you know, a business coach or a mindset business coach or whatever. You went through the motions yourself. You Yep. have vast experience in the financial industry. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, my main business is financial services, and I've been doing that for over 20, coming up, oh my God, I'm getting old, coming up on 29 years here right away. And
wait, you can just say almost three decades, right?
Oh, I don't even want to think about that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that I have an adult daughter and I'm going, how did this happen?
how did this happen? My eldest turned 16 this year. And I was like, how is that? That's not okay. It's not okay.
I took my daughter to go voting this year, which was a wonderful, proud, proud moment. But I'm going, how did this happen? Like, where did all that time? I still feel like I'm barely older than she is.
Oh my gosh. I know. In my mind, I'm just like, I know I've matured, but I'm still a teenager at heart. So 29 years in the financial services industry, what did that teach you? What did you observe?
It's taught me a lot, and how it actually, so I'm a super dork. I've been studying money, business, and success since I was 7 years old, but I grew up in a very rural area, and business was farming, and I'm not a farm girl. I've always been a city girl. So the moment three hours after I finished my last departmental exam, I was gone. I was out of there. Never looked back. Yeah. And I just kind of fell into it because, like I said, growing up, we had no exposure to anything like that. And then I worked for a few different companies and individuals and building up my skills. And then I ended up getting fired, which is actually a wonderful thing because I hated where I was. And if I hadn't been fired, I was already interviewing and I would have just jumped to another job that I would have ended up hating in short order. But when I was fired, I went, I'm free. I don't have to do this anymore. I never have to work for another creepy, incompetent old man. So I decided to go into sales, which is the last thing in the world that I wanted to do because I'm a massive introvert. And the idea of going out, especially selling things like insurance, like just picture Herb Tarlick at WKRP in Cincinnati. And that's how people look at you. But I went into running my own financial planning business and had to go through and learn so much stuff the hard way. And the scary part is I went in way better prepared, even though I wasn't planning it. I had been fired and that's why I decided to actually start my business. I had much stronger business knowledge to start off with than most people. They've got a good idea and a lot of passion and enthusiasm. And they have the technical skills, but they haven't a clue on anything else. Yeah. But I still had to go through such a painful, expensive, stressful learning curve that I decided if I could go back and talk to myself 1 year before I got fired and started my business, oh man, my life would have been completely different. It would have saved me so much time, money, and grief. Because I've always specialized in working with self-employed small business owners and helping them build their businesses and deal with that. Because the number one part of my job on the financial services is marriage counseling. Okay. That's the number one thing. You get that straightened out, putting together the numbers and the plan, do that in your sleep. But if you don't have a couple or an individual in the right mindset and communicating and working on their goals and getting everything honest.
Yeah. It's almost more taboo than talking about sex or, you know,
it's more taboo than sex.
Yeah.
There is more stress, grief, embarrassment, and shame wrapped around the subject of money than anything else, including sex.
Why do you think that is?
Because our society is warped.
I love that. I love it.
Our society is warped. It's a way of controlling us. We are taught that it's not polite to talk about it. And it kind of goes along the lines of employers will try to tell it's illegal to talk about your salary. Like you have to shh about that, which is absolute bullshit. But the reason why they don't want you talking is because when you start talking and you start sharing information and you start getting curious and learning, they can't lie to you. They can't rip you off. They can't manipulate you down.
Yeah.
And
so tell me, why is structure so important? Because that's really the nugget that I got from you in our last conversation. You say you like to work with entrepreneurs, you know, before they launch their business, because you said something about juggling plates up in the air, right? And we talked about, was it the bunny rabbits and that? Can you share that part? Because I thought that was so good.
Well, most business owners, they're professional plate spinners.
Yes, that's what
they've got. They've got the plates up on the poles, and they're spinning them. and it's all good, and they're running around and they're putting up more plates.
I can see myself when you're saying that. Yeah.
Until everything comes crashing down, because you can't, there's only so much that you can do. There's only so much that you can know, especially in our new world. Things are so much more complicated, and it's not slowing down on that front at all. Like, I like to believe I'm a pretty smart person, and I am a dork. Like, I'm always for learning. And now, because COVID sped up my process, my goal is to always go online, because then I can help people anywhere as long as they speak English, because that's the only language I'm any good at. But as long as they speak English, the basics of business, you don't even need to speak English. The basics of business are the same, no matter what. Doesn't matter industry, doesn't matter product, service, country, nothing. Basics of business are the same. The only thing that changes are some of the legal requirements and the specifics of the accounting and tax. That's the only stuff that's specific.
But yeah, that changes from country to country. You talked about there's two kinds of entrepreneurs. And when you describe that, that really hit home. Can you share with our listeners the two types of people that you've encountered over the years?
Because I've been working with small businesses for over 20 years. And I found that there's basically two main types of entrepreneurs. And 60 to 70% are what we call the bunny rabbits. And I got the bunny rabbits, the turtles, the owls, and the squirrels from a great book called The 1 Minute Millionaire by Robert Allen and Mark Victor Hansen. Very interesting to read book and filled with some absolute nuggets. But your bunny rabbit is your consummate marketer. They're your extrovert. They have no problem selling anything, going out and talking to people, and the excitement and the ideas. No problem. They've got it. Where they have their issues is they actually have to go back to the office or the shop or whatever and actually get something delivered. And that's where most of your entrepreneurs, I find, like 60 to 70% kind of fall under that camp, because they've got the ideas. They don't have a problem with the sales. And where they have their problem is they usually start bringing in so many sales that they don't have any of their systems in place. They don't have any good advisors. They don't understand the financials, and they just want to keep going out and making more sales until everything implodes.
Yeah.
And then I found that the other ones, and this is the camp that I much more strongly fall into, are more your owls. Don't ask us to come up with the idea, but once we have the idea, we will put the systems in place. We will deliver the finished product. We will knock your socks off. It will be amazing. And wow, we've got all of our back end looked after. But for the most part, if you ask these types of people to go out and talk to a real live human being and try to make a sale, you better have your defibrillator handy, because they're going to go into cardiac arrest.
I'm such a bunny rabbit.
And the owl types are very much of the belief of build it and they will come. It's the field of dream stuff. But they're going, nobody knows your field exists, dear. You have to tell people. No, I will let my work speak for itself. But if nobody or knows you exist to ask for your work so that it can speak, it's sitting there silent and you're going broke.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
both can be very successful. Anybody can be successful. I've even found one or two successful turtles, but they typically don't go into business.
So if you're looking for a business partner, should you like interview, if you're a bunny rabbit, you know, your business partner should be an owl?
Well, you definitely want, like, business partnerships can be wonderful if they are done properly. And I cannot stress that enough, because a bad business partnership, and a lot of people think they'll go into business with their spouse, and that can be a good thing, but it could also be an absolute nightmare.
Not nodding hysterically, going, uh-huh, yeah. I know that.
Yeah, no, I have a couple of clients that are husband and wife teams, and they are killing it. They are perfectly put together and they've got everything looked after. We've been working, and I've seen people, and that's what started the long, painful, fraught journey to divorce. I've seen family members go into business together. I've seen best friends go into business together, former coworkers go into business together, and it can be wonderful or it can be horrible. Depends on how it's set up. But you're saying, should a bunny rabbit person try to find an owl person to balance them out? Those are the best situations that I've seen.
Yeah.
Or even when people are going in, here's my strengths and here's what I bring, and here's your strengths that are very different and complementary in what you bring. As long as they are working together properly and they put together things like their buy-sell agreement, also known as unanimous shareholders agreement, and properly put things together, that can be an amazing knock it out of the park partnership.
Why do you think, you know, so many solopreneurs are, there's so many more people in a service-based industry now, coaches and consultants and all of that. Why do you think it is? What's the psychology behind, like, I'm just starting off, I'm not going to invest any money into a business coach. Like, it's very plug and play what I'm doing. You know, I'm a life coach or whatever it is. I'm just going to set up my business, build my empire, and it'll be fine because I'm just, you know, a coach or a consultant or something. I don't have a product, so I don't really need a structure.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at that story because yes,
you hear it all the time.
I've come across so many of them. No structure, no business. And there's if you're flying by the seat of your pants, you're gonna lose your pants. And nobody wants to see that in Canada in December. It's bloody cold where I am. And there's so many people that do go in with that. And that's why the vast majority of them don't make it the 2 years. And in fact, I believe that if you're going into coaching or consulting or anything, you probably need the system even more, because with at least a product-based business or something like that, you have something a little bit more tangible to keep you in the real world. Where I've seen, and I work with a lot of coaches, like I have a lot of them as clients and have over the years, and consultants and stuff like that. Without the structure and the systems and surrounding yourself with good people, you will delude yourself into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And one of the many reasons why a lot of people start off, and I was there because, like I said, my business was decided on the spot and went from having a regular paycheck to you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
And it takes
living in a constant state of paranoia. Yeah.
Is you're trying to keep your costs down and you don't know that there's other ways of getting help. You think I have to pay an awful lot of money for everything. For some people, it's just, it's too much hubris. But for the basics that I teach for everybody, it's mindset, habits, marketing, advisory team. And we'll talk about that for a second. Who do you have on your team? It's not necessarily employees or people that you're paying, but most people, especially when they're starting out in business, are getting their advice, solicited or not, from their broke-ass family and friends that have always been employees, have no idea what they're doing, and can't give them any good advice, support, or anything. You have to surround yourself with good people that you can talk to and that understand what you're trying to do. Financials, systems, cash flow, and profit. You have to have all eight of those. You have to have a working understanding and you have to be constantly building up on those skills.
I absolutely love it. So, you know, the name of the show is Coffee with Source. So I'm sure you knew I would ask you at some point in time, what is your, you know, where does your spirituality or your connection to a higher power come into all of this? How does spirituality fit into what you do, your business, your life?
I just go back to when you and I had our conversation a little while ago. You're going through this and I thought it was kind of it's kind of a weird question for me because it's just part of everything that I do. I am on a mission. Our world needs good people to create good businesses, to look after their customers, to look after their families, to look after their communities. We are coming to, or we're already very well into, a massive turning point. And we either destroy ourselves or we turn this shit show around.
Yeah.
And when I'm having kind of my low energy days, and I've been talking to an awful lot of people, lately that there's just something in the air right now, and people, their energy is low, and they're running out of steam, and not depressed, but pretty getting close to that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, when I'm in that mood, I'm going, ah, screw it. We're all fucked anyways. Why am I working so damn hard? But most of the time, and this is what I talk myself back into, I'm going, there are so many good people and great things that are coming where we can start cleaning up our environment and people that are reaching across the aisle. Like, I'm a huge, huge TED Talk junkie. And one that's sticking out in my head is a Black guy that started infiltrating like the KKK and turning these guys away from like their racism and their hate and stuff, and then helping them get their tattoos off and like completely bringing them over from the dark side to the light. I couldn't do that. Yeah. I am so glad that there are people out there that are doing that. And there are so many good businesses that are doing amazing things. We need to support these people. And everybody thinks they're too small to make a difference. Bullshit.
Yeah.
We can become that flood. We can become that tornado that just ripped through the states for over 200 miles. But we can do that as a force for good. As long as we are supporting one another, we're serious about it, we're learning, we're getting better, and we're going, this is the end goal. And this is what I'm working for. This is my spirituality. This is why I'm passionate, because we need to. I have a daughter and I want her to have a future.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you have a daily practice that keeps you grounded or in an abundance mindset, even when times are tough?
Oh yeah. Well, dear, times are always tough. Some days it's just slightly less tough.
Yeah.
Because it's called being human and being actually aware of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, there's a shit ton of contrast, that's for sure.
So yes, I have a few practices. So like I said, one of the things that I do, because I'm not of the normal religion, I loved seeing there's been a lot of reports coming out that the fastest growing demographic are non-religious or atheist. I'm going, I'm completely in that camp. Mm-hmm. But the TED Talks, I watch at least one of those a day because that really helps. I read, and I have some really, really good people in my world that I keep in contact with, so that when I'm having like a down day or whatever, I get the emergency call quite regularly from a few different people that we can talk to and support one another and be a safe place to vent, and then remind each other, why are you doing what you're doing? Get back out there.
Yeah. Focus, center, align.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Do you believe that our thoughts create our reality?
Oh, huge. Even if you're not looking at it from, as some people would say, the woo-woo part, if you look at it this way, what you think about determines how you act.
Why do you say that with such conviction?
If you're thinking garbage thoughts, you're not going to do anything. Where if you're thinking, if you've got hope, and you're excited about something and you're going, okay, I always say, have the question running in the background, and then your subconscious will start paying attention to things, because our world is so noisy that we have to sort out almost everything. But when we start putting the question to our mind, going, okay, I want to meet this person, or I want to do this or whatever, then all the noise that you were cutting out before, your brain goes, okay, now I need to pay attention to that. And then it starts changing the filter. So you're starting to see the things that you're looking for.
You start to pay attention more. Yeah.
Yeah. How you think. I'm a huge, huge believer from decades of experience in the law of attraction.
100%.
That's how I found my husband, and basically he ended up falling in my lap.
He's like, oh, hello. Nice to see you. But I find that in my own experience and so many people around me that, you know, have applied the principle of, instead of making a statement about, you know, let's say you're an entrepreneur and shit's getting really hard and you've been doing it for a year or two and you're spinning your plates, saying, you know, this is never going to happen for me. This is just too much. I am clearly not an entrepreneur. This is never going to work. Just to ask a question and say, how can I make this work for me? Or how can I learn more about accounting? right? Or something like that. And then you'll hear conversations, or a book will pop up, or you'll speak to someone who says, oh my God, I just met this great accountant.
Yep.
Do you experience things like that in your life? Just all by asking questions? Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm the consummate question asker, and learning to become clear in what you want, because most people are so busy and foggy and stressed that it's like they're going into a restaurant and they're starving, or they're walking up to the counter and they're going, I want food.
Yeah.
Well, we have food. What food? Like, what food do you want off the menu?
Yeah. And it's like saying, you know, I want to lose 100 pounds, or I'm going to set a goal, and in 1 year I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And then that's it. You put the little piece of paper away, but you don't have any clearly defined actionable steps.
Yeah.
Right.
Like what is the plan?
How are you going about it? Yeah.
And here's the other one. Until I've lost the full 100 pounds, I haven't achieved anything. So I'm just going to keep beating myself up because I haven't achieved. No. Anytime you start making changes, you know what? I'm going to start going for a walk at lunch instead of just sitting at my desk, or I'm going to do the apple a day. Every time you're making a small positive change, you need to be aware of that and be paying attention to what are your actions. That's why I'm going, it's all about habits, 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 habits. It's tiny little steps to get you to where you need to be.
Yeah. And saying, you know, I'd really like to lose 100 pounds in the next 12 months. How can I make that happen in my current reality?
Yep.
You know, instead of making excuses for ourselves, which we end up going in gung ho into business, and depending on what personality type you are, and then the wear and tear of the day to day starts getting to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it. I love everything about this conversation. I'm so grateful that you made time to be on the show.
Well, I'm always out to help anybody who is in business. Let's work together and increase your chances of success. There's still stuff that can happen, but that happens with jobs all the time and life, but let's make it better.
Yeah. Your passion for entrepreneurship really comes through. And I think that's, you know, that's what we need to do, is live from a more heart-centered place. Keep reminding ourselves why we want to be entrepreneurs, the change we're bringing into the world. And I love that part of your messaging.
Thank you.
So anyone who is listening, how do they get a hold of you, Miss Tammy Johnson?
So the best place is through my website. So it's KSA Business, and KSA stands for kick some ass, business.ca. And anybody who is thinking about starting a business, or like I said, is new as possible in business. I've worked with people from idea up to, I've been successfully in business for 40 years and everything in between, but I put my focus on the newbies. You can go to ksabusiness.ca/gift. And I have a free solopreneur self-assessment. It's just a little questionnaire that you can go through to figure out where you're strong, because everybody has strengths. And then we can build on those. And then where are you weak, or the big one that a lot of people find out totally, completely clueless about the things that you need.
Yeah, 100%. Do you work with entrepreneurs who maybe want to pivot in their business?
Oh yeah, that's a huge one.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so grateful. All of Tammy's information will be in the show notes, of course. You know, regardless of what stage you're at in your business, if you're feeling even an ounce of despair, I highly, highly recommend that you have a conversation with Tammy, because she is the real deal. Do you do like consultations or discovery calls?
Yes, I do. So if you go to the ksabusiness.ca/gift, you can get the solopreneur self-assessment, and you can also book a free 15-minute consultation with me. And I have a lot of people take me up on that, because I know that committing to do a program or work with a coach is a big commitment. Because you need to be making sure that, number one, there's a fit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great business
coaches. You need to make sure they're ready, because their success is your success. And I feel so strongly about that in my own coaching practice, is that we have to make sure we're the right fit, but I also don't want to waste your time and be more invested in the process than they are.
Oh, huge. And are they going to be giving you what you need right now. Like I pick up so many clients that are starting out, and because everybody's talking about you need to specialize, you need to niche, like
niche down, fucking driving me crazy.
Oh, it does. And it's not saying there's anything wrong with that, because we do need specialists, but I call them ologists. I'm not an ologist. I'm an absolutely fucking amazing family doctor. So people go, I'm in pain.
Love it. Yeah.
So I'm seeing this ad for this ologist. I need social media marketing because it's 2021 or we're coming up on 2022 very quickly. So they go and they drop thousands upon thousands of dollars with this great social media, but they're not ready for it.
Yeah,
so I'm still in pain. So I'm going to go to this messaging coach, or I'm going to go to this. And they've dropped so much money. They haven't gotten what they needed, because you're trying to have a toddler that's just learning to walk, sending them to an Olympic sprinting coach. Once you've got the foundation, which is what I do, then when your business is starting to get going and it's surviving, if you want to level up, okay, then maybe you're ready for that social media marketing coach or the messaging coach or whatever it is. But if you don't have the basics, you're just throwing good money after bad because you're not ready for it. And it's so there's true. So and many coaches that'll take the money.
And if your vision is not defined, I had a conversation with someone a few months ago and it blew my mind. It was like, you know, they dropped a bunch of money on this sales team. Mm-hmm. That we're going to, you know, work their Facebook group and their social media and get them a bunch of sales and do all of this and all of that. And the business was still in the, you know, early infancy stages. And this person was extremely frustrated. And I said, well, how are you guiding them? So making the assumption that the experts that you're working with know your business, know your goals, know what you stand for, know what your ideal client, that's a huge mistake.
Yep.
Right. So it's, you got to get your head on straight to know exactly what it is that you want, where you're going, what you want to achieve, because you're guiding your team once you're able to get one.
And there's a lot of people that they don't even know how to do that. So that's one of the first things that we start with, because if you don't even know the questions to ask, how can you get the right answers?
You
can get answers, but if you're not asking the right questions, you're stuck on the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Well, even hiring an accountant, right? Accountants specialize in different things.
Mm-hmm.
They have strengths and weaknesses. So just hiring any Joe Blow accountant out of the phone book, you need to be educated about your business, where you're going, what your goals are, so you can interview them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love very much this. So. Preaching to the choir, love. Preaching to the choir.
I'm so excited to have met you. And I feel like we're going to have so many more conversations. You and I, you're my new favorite person. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I'm wishing you a beautiful holiday season up in the snowy wonderland that is Alberta.
Yes. Same to you. Maybe you'll get out of your heat wave and actually get a white Christmas.
Yeah, maybe. I am still wearing flip-flops. Who knows? Have a beautiful day, Tammy. Thank you.
You as well.